I want to take a few moments today and I want to talk to you about 10 guarantees for the new year. 10 guarantees. Now, how many of you don't mind having some really outstanding news granted to you today for the new year? How many of you could just stand some good news today? Come on, I think I can. Turn to your neighbor and ask him, say, this won't bother you if he gives us some good news today, will it? We're going to move forward then. Now, I'm going to do something today that I haven't done recently, not in a service like this. I want to use and read to you this morning the 23rd Psalm. And I'm on the verge of just crying like a baby because I know all the good that God has planned for His people this year. If you have a Bible this morning, I want you to turn to Psalms 23. And I want to read this beautiful psalm. You may have read this at a funeral. You may have heard it at various times. And I'm going to preach a message today or teach a message today entitled The 10 Guarantees for the New Year out of this 23rd Psalm. Psalm 23 reads this way, beginning in verse 1, and I love this, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." Verse 4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." Verse 6 says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let me pray before I teach you a little bit out of this psalm. Father, I pray Your blessing would be upon this teaching today, that Your people would be encouraged. Lord, that they realize in this psalm are guarantees that You are going to fulfill in the life of every believer that looks to You as Lord and Savior. Lord, give us ears to hear what You are saying in Jesus' name. Now, I want you to notice this first verse of this psalm says this, and I love this. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, most of you understand now why I brought this picture here today with this shepherd. I bought this years ago in California when I was at Jack Hayford's School of Pastoral Nurture. And I'll tell you the reason I purchased this. And by the way, this is not a cheap print. I bought it and I've got it in my office so that I always remember what my role is and what my calling is. My calling is not that primarily of an evangelist. It is to shepherd God's people. And some of you may remember this little shepherd's staff that when I became the pastor of this church, we have a tradition here, this shepherd's staff goes to the next pastor. And I don't know if you were here during that ordination service, but Pastor Sam Walker transferred the shepherd's staff to me. And if I ever go, guess what? I'm going to transfer it to someone else. Don't anticipate going anytime soon. Just thought I'd throw that in. But verse 1, this opening verse, determines if the rest of the following promises can be applied to you and me. Here's what we have to do as believers. We have to decide who's going to be at the helm of our life. Now, if we decided that Jesus is going to be Lord of our lives, guess what? I've got some fabulous news for you. You get ready to be blessed this new year. I don't care what the news is saying. I don't care what prophecies are being fulfilled. It doesn't matter to me. I've got some guarantees for you, and it's going to be a blessed, happy year. Why don't you join me and give a great big praise? Now, here's guarantee number one. Verse 1 says, I shall not want. Now let me just teach you some things this morning. It really should read, I shall not lack. Big difference. Because I found some things about myself, and I it's probably true of some people I know. There's a difference between wanting and not lacking. Now there are a lot of things I want. I have a little, I call it the little farm, just a few acres. And let me tell you, I have a dream and a vision for my little farm. I've got a barn, I've got a little cabin plan and fences, and I've got a little windmill. But guess what? Those are just wants. I don't lack anything. You don't lack anything. And you know what? I'm going to go ahead and say, go on the record and say, I believe the Good Shepherd's going to give us some of the things that we want as well. But this verse, more accurately, should be stated, I shall not lack. Now, here's a little food for thought. David had been hounded and he'd been harassed by Saul as well as those of his own household. His own son, Absalom, had been harassing him. And if you study David's life, what you realize about David is that he was a man who knew intense privation. David had even experienced deep personal poverty and hardship and anguish of spirit. Go study his life. And so David, the writer of this psalm, is telling us about the great shepherd and being a shepherd himself, what to expect from the good shepherd. I love this. And yet amid all these hardships, which I know many of you are going through very real hardships. Some of you are going through some things that no one knows about. But yet amidst all this, David was able to boast and he was able to say, I shall not want and I shall not lack. You ought to turn to somebody. I know I'm having you do that a lot today. You ought to turn to him and say, I am not going to lack this year. Come on, we're not going to be without this year. In fact, you ought to go ahead and declare, not only this year, but next year as well and the years beyond. Come on, we got to start declaring that. I shall not lack. Come on, when the husband comes in and they're talking about terminating his job or vice versa, you just declare, okay, baby, if they decide to do that, we shall not lack. Changes are happening and in people's lives everywhere, and there's a lot of battling of fear and things going on, but I'm telling you, the good shepherd is going to see to it that you do not lack. Psalms 37 and 25, David also said this. He says, once I was young, and now I am old. He said, yet I have never seen the godly abandoned or their children begging bread. You need to declare that over your children. Bad economy, good economy, God's children are not going to lack this year. Isn't this a beautiful promise? Amen. Come on, I want you to liven up today. Give God a big praise today. This is a wonderful promise. But guarantee number two, it says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. Now, the strange thing about sheep is that because of their very makeup, it is almost impossible for them to be made to lie down unless certain requirements are met. How many of you know God's children, the sheep of His pasture, are not any different? It is no accident that God refers to Him as the Good Shepherd, and He refers to His people as the sheep of His pasture. Can I just tell you something about sheep? Sheep need a lot of help. Let me be real with you. Sheep do some dumb things. Sheep get themselves in some situations that the shepherd has to get this out and help them out with and some other things. Hey, listen to me. We are the sheep of His pasture, and guess what? We need a lot of help from the good shepherd. Amen. Amen. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Now, it's significant that for sheep to be at rest, there must be a definite sense of freedom from fear and from tension, from aggravations and hunger. How many of you know that there's just a lot of aggravations today? But guess what God is guaranteeing to you and I today? If we make Him the shepherd of our lives, and that's not based upon doing everything right, because some of you are going to move into that law thinking and that works motive, say, well, I'd like for Him to be my shepherd, but I still got this issue and I've got this problem. How many of you know that's not the issue? It's the issue of where have you put your heart? I tell you, I am looking to the shepherd this year. And you know what He's going to do? He's going to lead His people to green pastures. But sheep can be spooked easily. But guess what? It's only the shepherd that provides release from these anxieties. It's the unknown. It's the unexpected that can startle a herd of sheep. For example, Philip Keller talks about, gives this little story. He says, one day a friend came to call on us from the city. She had a tiny Pekingese pup along. And as she opened the car door, the pup jumped out on the grass. Just one glimpse of the unexpected little dog was enough. Listen to this. In sheer terror, over 200 of my sheep, which were resting nearby, leaped up and rushed off across the pasture. That sounds just like God's people. Now, I can say that. I've seen it. It's like, what's wrong? What's everybody running for? What's going on? Boom, let's all go. No rhyme or reason. Just prone to fear and anguish of soul and aggravation. But guess what? The shepherd wants to see to it that we don't run in fear. Amen? How many of you know if you have fear, listen, in your life, listen to me now, you're not going to obey God. Fear is just the opposite of obedience. If fear is ruling your life, you will not obey and do what God says. You won't even feel comfortable around the shepherd. But as long as there is the slightest suspicion of danger, guess what? The sheep are ready to flee. How many of you have been in this thing long enough to realize that's kind of how we are? You know, a little problem, a little rises, or the news, God forbid, that they would talk about the stock market going down or anything, and you know, we're in fear. We're, oh my God, we're all going to die and we're all going broke and the world's going to come to an end tomorrow. No, it's not. You know why? Because the great shepherd is going to lead us to some green pastures. Here's a verse for you, and a lot of you will know this verse. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." Let me say this before I go on to my next point. How many of you know that green pastures didn't just happen? Oh, you listen to me. The great shepherd, the shepherd who loves his sheep, goes before them and he prepares the pasture land when they're down in the lowland. He gets it ready so that when he brings them to this upper land, they'll have green grass to eat. And let me tell you, it is vital that sheep eat green grass. Listen to this. It's not uncommon for a sheep to gain 100 pounds within 100 days of its birth. Green grass for the sheep is necessary. And guess what? The good shepherd is going to make sure that we have green grass that is supplied for us. How many of you know I'm talking about spiritual nourishment from the Father? I'm talking about things that are good for us, that are nutritionally sound for us. How many of you know I'm speaking on a spiritual level now? I don't go around eating green grass. Well, I do eat spinach some. And I do try to eat lettuce. But I usually don't go outside and get down on all four and start eating green grass. You get the picture, right? And I'll tell you, probably my frustration today is there is so much. Each of these points could be a teaching in and of themselves. So I'm just going to have to move quickly and maybe we can do it another time. But guarantee number three, it says that he leads me beside the still waters. I want you to notice, you go back and do a little research and a little bit of study out of this psalm and notice how many times it says he leads. He leads. He leads. He leads. Now, it's up to me to follow the shepherd. If at some point I decide, hey, I don't want to follow where the shepherd's going. I don't like this. I don't like the valley of the shadow of death, or I don't like this or that. I'm going to be afraid. Then guess what? God, he can't lead us like he wants to. But that's what he's got this little apparatus for. He helps us along. And by the way, this is not a tool of abuse. He does not beat the sheep with this. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. This is used to help the sheep. I'll explain it a little later. But let me tell you, the primary use of this when he's not helping the sheep or he's examining the sheep, this right here is for the prey. And the shepherd will use this to whack something that's coming against his sheep. I'm going to tell you, this psalm is so rich and so full of promises that if we'll hear it and we'll understand it, that God is now going to lead his people beside the still waters. Now you have to understand this. Although sheep thrive in a dry, semi-arid country, they require a lot of water, just like we do. I'm not going to get on a health issue. Folks, we need a whole lot more water than we drink. But guess what? Sheep do too. Here's the fact about sheep. The body of an animal such as a sheep is composed of about 70% water on average. This fluid is used to maintain normal body metabolism. It is a portion of every cell, contributing to its normal life function. Water determines this. Are you hearing me? Water determines the vitality, the strength, and the vigor of the sheep and is essential to its health and general well-being. Sheep cannot live without water. Beloved, how many of you know there is a spiritual aspect to this? That as we have the capacity for water, guess what? Natural water, guess what? We have a need and a capacity for spiritual water. What did Jesus do on that great day of the feast? The Bible says He stood up and He said, "If anybody thirst, let him come to Me and drink freely from the water of life." You know what the good shepherd's going to do? The good shepherd is going to be leading us by the still waters. He's going to lead us there. I want to follow Him. I am as hungry to know the will of God. I am as thirsty as I have ever been to know the will of God and to know the purpose and the plan of God for my life. How about you? To drink in spiritually, in spiritual terminology, it means to take in or to accept or to believe. How many of you know our part of this as He leads is to believe? It simply means this. And it implies that a person accepts the very life of God in Christ to the point where it becomes a part of Him. You know where He's leading today? He's leading us by still waters. Are you in fear? Are you disturbed? Don't be. Because the shepherd's leading you to still waters. And there were different types of water that the sheep would drink. And if he came across a river that was very turbulent, guess what? He would turn the sheep away because he knew the sheep were susceptible to not be at peace. Even rough waters could cause the sheep to do that very thing that they didn't need to do, just flee. He's leading. He's leading us to green pastures. He is leading us beside the still waters. And it is the tender shepherd that is doing this. Amen? Amen? Guarantee number four. And I want to take my time on this point. He restores my soul. He restores my soul. How many of you know if you do life today, and it's been true of all of history of mankind, life can be torturous on the soul. That's the reason David cried out at one point. He said, "My soul, why are you so cast down in me? What is the problem? Why are you so depressed in me, old soul?" Our souls take a beating in this world. Have any of you noticed that? Maybe you didn't know what it was. Folks, listen. I love humanity. I'm in the people business. If you're a Christian, you're in the people business. But how many of you know dealing with people can be can do a number on the soul? Are you with me today? Don't be so deep in thought you can't respond. Anybody ever had anybody that caused a little aggravation in their life? Can I take it a step further? And anybody ever had somebody do something to you that really caused you to battle unforgiveness and bitterness for them? How about let's take it a step further? Any of you ever had anybody, somebody saying right now, and they're flashing in your mind, hey, we've all got that you ever wanted to have a little vengeance on? Come on, let's be real. This is a real church with real people. The reality is our souls get beat up doing life. And God doesn't want us to check out just because we have some problems. We've all got some problems. I could tell you some sad stories. I could have you, and I've told a few, I don't tell them anymore. I could tell a few people some of the things I've gone through, and they're like, "Oh, really? Okay." And they slink out of the office. And you could probably tell me some stories right now that have happened to you in the past few years. And we'd weep and cry. And I'd try to help you, but you know what? You know what we need? We need the great shepherd to restore our soul. He is the only one that can fully restore my soul and your soul. And this is one of the things that the good shepherd guarantees that he is going to do in our life. He's going to restore our soul. Don't you check out on life. I don't hear it anymore, but I used to hear it's like, I'm not going to church. All those Christians are hypocrites, and you know, they're just a bunch of problems at churches. There sure are, because you got people. And you've heard me say this before. I always want to say back to those people who check out on humanity and give up on people and say, I'm not going to church. I'm not going to try to make any difference for the kingdom of God. You know, you always wonder, in the back of their mind, they somehow or another think they arrived at a place of holiness and perfection where they never offended or never hurt anybody. And I found those kind of people don't realize a lot of people around them are offended with them. But they just kind of set themselves up like they're some special person. That is the epitome of hypocrisy. The greatest hypocrites don't go to church. They're out there pointing their finger at everybody else. So you're here, so you must not have an ounce of hypocrisy in you. Praise the Lord. It's all them folks that didn't show up today. We're talking about God leading us by the still waters. Let me just tell you something I have observed. Some of the calmest people, most confident people, serene people, in the face of difficulties, which we all have, are those folks, listen to me now, I'm not trying to step on your toe, but are folks who rise early in the morning before the day begins and they spend a little time with the shepherd. Amen? Folks, I love you. But have we done life enough to realize at some point we're going to have problems. We're going to have challenges. But guess what? We need to know the great shepherd. See this guy? He is leading his sheep. And he is deep in thought because he's concerned about those sheep. And he wants to know that they're going to be well taken care of. I urge you, I encourage you, whenever, if you're a midnight seeker of God, that's okay. There's not a right or a wrong about when you seek God, but let me encourage you, be one who seeks the shepherd of the soul, the one who can restore you. And I just want to tell you, I'm so thrilled about the beginning of this new year. One of the things making me so happy, my mother a few years ago bought me a daily reading Bible that I hadn't read yet because I've been reading another one. Well, guess what? I'm at a new place. I'm going to open up that new Bible, and I'm going to start reading that new Bible. I'm going to read my daily plan, and I'm going to let the shepherd of my soul restore me. I'm not going to check out on Christians. I'm not going to check out on humanity. I'm not going to get mad at the world. I don't care what the news is saying. I'm not going to give up, and I'm not going to speak fear, and I'm not going to talk doubt, and I really want to encourage you. Get that book out and read it. I'm going to tell you something. When I woke up this morning, and I'm getting way ahead of myself, but unless I might forget this, I heard the voice of God speak so clearly to me. Every one of these promises guarantees that I'm reading to you will be fulfilled effortlessly and automatically if you will just go and spend time with the shepherd. That is it. And I know we struggle. I know life comes at us, and then the next thing we know, we've gone a few days and we've not been spending time with God. Don't let that turn into a month. Don't let that turn into a lifetime. Everything you want and everything you need can be fulfilled if you will discipline yourself to be with the great shepherd. But Pastor, and I know this went through somebody's mind the minute I said, so you know the reason I don't do that, Pastor? I've got too much sin in my life. Go to the shepherd and let him heal you and let him restore you, just like he would do with any sheep that had problems. If he wanted to examine a sheep, you know what he would do? Not in an abusive way. He would go grab grandpa's sheep or little baby sheep, and he would pull them over to him and say, I want to examine you, and I want to look at you and see if there's any disease, if there's any problems. And guess what? He didn't get the stick and say, well, I can see you've been off in the wrong place. Whack! That's how people image God. And that's the reason they don't come to Him. That's the reason they don't read. That's the reason they don't pray. That's the reason they don't come to church. He wants to get you over there and examine you. And hey, let me just tell you, everybody, He does know how to pull you in. He put that right around the neck. And you, come on, come on, come on. No, come on, come on. Let me look you over. You got any disease or any problems? If you do, you know what He did? He healed them. And he had medicines and he had oils that he put on the sheep. You know what God's going to do for every one of us? And I believe he's doing it as I'm speaking. He is restoring our soul. And not only is he going to do it today, he's going to do it throughout this year and throughout the rest of your life, as long as you allow him to lead you and you follow him. Amen? Amen. He restores my soul. Let me tell you, David knew what it was like to be downcast. David knew what it was like to be depressed. I don't care what they say, for some people, depression is a very real thing. And you've got to realize only the shepherd can get that depression out of your life. How many of you know what a cast sheep is? It's a sheep that hits a little soft area, which we all kind of like to settle in a little soft area. We like it where it's soft and nice. And then that sheep, next thing you know, he doesn't have good footing. And guess what? He falls over. These sheep get in these places and then fall over and they get on their back and they cannot get up. And they're just, I mean, they're going crazy until they'll just sit there and wiggle their feet and squeal and do everything until they die. And if the shepherd doesn't come rather quickly, they die. We are not any different. Oh, we like those little soft places. Don't, Pastor, don't ask me to move on. Let's don't move. I like everything just like it is. I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. But thank God the shepherd loves us enough that the shepherd comes on the scene. He said, oh, we've got to move forward, little sheep. Here we go. I'm sure there's a few of them that had a little cantankerous attitude. Now that's one aspect of God's people they never have. They're never cantankerous. Folks, I want to say this regarding the restoring of your soul. Jesus does not get frustrated at you when you find yourself upside down and you're wondering, how did I get upside down and why can't I get back up? Because you are designed like sheep. You need a shepherd. And guess what? He's going to restore the downcast sheep. Amen? Number five, guarantee number five. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. There it is again. He leads me. Folks, we have to trust that the shepherd knows exactly what he's doing. Notice it says, he leads them in the way of righteousness, not for only for our sake, but for his name's sake. God has a reputation to uphold. But he leads us. He leads us in the ways of righteousness. Now let me tell you something about sheep, and I pray you give me time to get this message done today. Sheep are notorious, oh God, for walking the same pathway. The shepherd, hello, y'all come this way. Sorry, Ann. You know what they do? They just dig a rut. They get in a rut. I can't go too far with this, but come on, I want to be real. You know what sheep do to their fields? If the shepherd, the good shepherd, doesn't move them on, you know what they do? They just stay in that same field. They'll stay till there's no more grass, till it's brown, till it's gone. And I'm sorry, I don't know how, I'm trying to think of how to say this. They use it for every other purpose, and they contaminate their field. And then parasites come, and disease comes, and all kinds of problems come if the shepherd doesn't love his sheep long enough to keep them moving. Folks, let me tell you something I've learned about the sheep of the Bible, and the sheep of America. The sheep of America don't like to move. Don't give me anything new, man. I like the old. Well, the only problem with the old is you get in a rut. The only problem with the old, the grass dies. The only problem with that is then all the diseases set in. And what's sad is sometimes Christians don't even recognize when spiritual disease has set in. Where does he lead us? He leads us on the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I mean, God's got something to say about this thing called our life. And so the wise shepherd, the good shepherd, safeguards his sheep by keeping them on the move. It's true. You know, I get so excited, God will give you a new vision. Woo, here we go. Dear God, we're going to have miracles and we're going to change the world. We're going to get set up and we're going to go on cameras and we're going to go around the world. And we're going to do all these things and save souls. And then suddenly you realize, and I need to move on to my next point, suddenly everybody doesn't want to move with the vision. We're going to change worship just a little bit so we can reach a younger generation. I like the old stuff. Old stuff is good, but it's got a lot of poop in it sometimes and a lot of parasites and a lot of other things. God said, you've passed the point. Move on to guarantee number six. Stay with me. I want to start this new year off right. Guarantee number six says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now let me tell you, folks, what the shepherd is doing at this point. He's transitioning the sheep to higher ground. How many of you know God wants to take His church and His people and your family and your marriage and your health and your business to a new level? But what he realizes is that if he doesn't keep those sheep on the move, they'll sit there and they'll die and they'll get all kinds of disease in them. And so in order to get to this new higher land that he's got for his sheep, he has to take them through the valley of the shadow of death. In other words, these are valleys that are enriched with what the sheep need to get to the higher ground. But there are enemies there. There are wolves there. There are bears there. But God knows, the shepherd knows, I got to get them to that new land because that's where they're going to spend their best months, and I'm going to fatten them up in the higher ground. How many of you know when you go through these valleys in this time of year that we're making reference to, they're very dark. There's very little sunshine. There's creatures of every kind in these narrow pathways on each side. And the shepherd has to be there to encourage the sheep along the way. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Don, no evil. Evil. Don't fear any evil. Life is real. We talk about the reality of life. The battles that we have are real, aren't they, Mark? They're real. But you know what the Good Shepherd says today as we begin this new year? I don't want you to fear anything. How about losing your job? That's very real. We've had a lot of people who thought their jobs were secure, and then all of a sudden they don't have a job. That's okay. Pamela, don't fear any evil. Amen? Why? Because the shepherd's with us. It doesn't matter what they're saying about the on the news. If God wants to open up a new door for you, He will open up a new door. Amen? I'm sorry, but I've got news for the sinners. They're in trouble. The wealth of the sinners is stored up for the righteous. You got some sinners that have got some jobs? Well, I'm sorry. They don't have the favor of God. If God wants to get you that job, guess what? You'll have that job. Amen. I love sinners. And God does too. But I guarantee He's more concerned about His children being provided for than He is somebody who never acknowledges Him. I'm sorry. It's true. It may offend you. Guarantee number seven, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. See, the rod is a source of comfort. And God knows we all need this staff to comfort us. Because the sheep, as we've already stated, get scared and they get alarmed. And they know the touch of their shepherd, and when he touches them, as I've already stated, it's not a source of abuse. It's like, it's all right, I'm right here. It's okay, don't worry, I'm right here. I'm right here. Come on over here. This is the way we're going. It's a source of comfort. Hey, if one door closes, then maybe God meant for it to close. If one opportunity closed, maybe it's the goodness of the shepherd comforting your life and saying, no, we're going to go this way. I know you had this plan, and I know you had this dream, and that big preacher told you to do all this stuff, but this is my way. The good shepherd knows what he's doing. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I think I'll just keep this rest of the sermon here. I like this thing. And lean on it. They're to be a source of comfort. Folks, listen to me. God's Word is like a staff and a rod to you and I. It will comfort us. It will lead us, and it will guide us in the direction that we need to go. Amen? Guarantee number 8. I love this one. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. We've already talked about this. And I'm not talking about human beings. I'm talking about spiritual entities, principalities and powers. You may not believe that there is a demonic world out there, but it's there and it's very real. And what does God say? God says, right in the midst of all that you're going on, I am going to take you to this high land that I have prepared and that is rich with nutrients. And even though your enemies are standing all around you, and even though when you're going through that valley, I'm going to see to it that you are fed and that you are taken well care of. This is a guarantee of the great shepherd. Now here's something else sheep will do. Do you know that sheep will eat just about anything? Even poisonous things. Sometimes we just eat things that are not good for us. And I'm not talking about French fries and hamburgers. Sometimes we have a spiritual appetite that's not good for us. That's what I like about a new year, and that's what I like about fasting. Man, it gives you an opportunity to start again and start eating right. You know, this is an inside story here, but our little Ginger this Christmas season. Don't believe that chocolate will kill dogs. We had a gift that we were carrying to my mother's family Christmas, where the Jacksons meet. And somehow or another, Ginger gets in this box. We don't know how. She doesn't tear it open. She doesn't do it. We still haven't quite figured out how she maneuvered about 16 little kisses, chocolate, out of this box, and neatly unwrapped every one of them and had her a party when we weren't home. I thought, well, we may have spent all the days we're going to spend with Ginger, but it's been good. We went around the house. Lawrence and Logan, my grandchildren, were helping us. 4 wrappers over here, 3 wrappers over there, 2 over there, 4 more over here. That's one of those times I wanted one of those cameras that hunters have. If I could have just seen and watched Ginger, she was having a party. She was getting high on chocolate. And I came home and I said, well, I hope it's worth it, Ginger. I've been told chocolate will kill you, but maybe you shall live. I said, I guess we'll know in the morning. She has had no ill effects. In fact, she found some other kisses another day or two later that got spilled out of a box. I wish I had more time today, but I'm out of time. God is preparing a table before us in the presence of our enemies. And I feel so strongly to stress this. People are not your enemies. People are not your enemies. It's spiritual enemies that we have. Certainly, the devil uses people sometimes. But yes, he do. Amen. And guarantee number 9. He says, you anoint my head with oil. On these journeys that the sheep would take, there would be all these insects and sometimes an infestation of them that would try to settle in the sheep's ears and in their nostrils. And if these parasites got in there and were not taken care of, there again the sheep would become diseased. How many of you know the spiritual battle that we live every day is there's spiritual parasites and there's diseases that are wanting to get in, listen to this, and affect our ability to hear God. That's the reason God said to him who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says. If I've got disease and parasites, how many of you know the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good? How many of you know before you taste of something, you smell it? But if I've got all these parasites and all these germs and diseases, I can't smell, I can't hear, and I can't see. You know what the good shepherd does? He gets that sheep, even though it doesn't want it, and he smears oil all over the head of that sheep. And you know what it does? It brings instant relief to that sheep. I'm declaring a guarantee to you that in this new year, God has a fresh anointing for every one of you. Amen. Give Him praise. And then finally, as Mark comes this morning, guarantee number 10. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. When I awoke this morning, I mean, the minute I opened my eyes, He said, you tell the people that the goodness and the mercy that I'm referring to are all these other promises that you're going to give them today. And I know we've had a lot of material here and so much else could be said. The goodness is that God is your shepherd and you shall not lack. He's going to lead you by the green pastures. He's going to lead you by the still waters. He's going to protect you. And if you have to go through a valley of the shadow of death, guess what? The good shepherd is going to be right there with you. That is the goodness and the mercy of the Lord. I want you to know God is with us. Let me close with this verse. John chapter 10. Verse 11, Jesus declared this of Himself. He said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. I love that. He is the good shepherd. Come on, put your hand on your heart. He is the good shepherd to me. And you know what He's done and what He will continue to do? He has laid down His life for the sheep. It's true. And I want you this next week, I want you to think about these promises. I want you to go back and read this psalm. What a great psalm to start the year off with. He anoints my head with fresh oil. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. I love this about God, that He'll get me out of something that I think is the direction I need to go. The Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. I love this about God, that I can be going one way and God says, no, we're going this way because this is the better path. You know, I don't want to get all legalistic about how you seek God. I know God wants me to say this. You know the practical aspect of drawing close to the shepherd is? As we say, you get the good book out. Folks, if you need a little help or a little encouragement, talk to us. My gosh, with technology today, we can get you. You can carry 49 Bibles at one time in your smartphone. 19 different reading plans. 400 devotions. I mean, if that's the problem, make a determination. And this is not law. God's not, if you don't get your Bible out, God's not going to say, well, I can't be your shepherd. But you're not going to understand Him. You're not going to know what He's trying to do when He's trying to lead you. You're just not going to understand. The Word will explain that to you. I'm going to tell you another one. And I pray you hear me in a fresh way. You know how we seek God? We seek God when we come together in this type of a setting. This new gospel that says, no big deal, is a deceptive gospel. There is something that is released when the people of God come together in the corporate setting and they get together and they worship God and they pray together. That's the reason I want you to come on Tuesdays. I yearn to see God do more. Whether you believe it or not, that's another way in which we seek God. And you can't really do one effectively without the other. You know what else we do together? We pray together. You know what else we do together? Come on now. We gather together in small groups. And we seek God together. And we worship God together. All these ways are ways in which we seek God. You know, if you just stay at home all the time by yourself and you read your Bible, but you don't ever interact with people, that's just not good. Unless there's just no other means and you are bedfast and can't do it, then God's grace is there. But the Good Shepherd is going to lead us today. How many of you like this staff? This rod, I love this. Makes me feel like a shepherd. I think we're ready for the new year. Amen. I want us to stand this morning. I just want to pray for you. I want to say to anyone this morning, please hear me. If you're here and you do not have a relationship with God, that is the beginning place. And you begin with God. You begin with His Son, Jesus. You can't get to heaven or develop a relationship with God by just doing good works. You do it through His Son and receiving His sacrificial death for you. And I don't want to leave this place until I've given everybody in this place an opportunity to say yes to the Lord Jesus. I want us for just a moment to all bow our heads. And I just want to know this morning, is there anyone here this morning that would say in just a moment, as I ask you to do so, just to lift your hand right where you're, say, I want a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. And I want to invite Him into my life. And you're ready to do that. Right where you stand, we'll pray with you and we'll all pray together in this room so that you won't be alone. Is there anybody by the lifting of their hands that would say, yes, I want the Lord Jesus. Yes, sir, I see that hand. Anybody else this morning that would say, I'm ready to follow the Lamb, I'm ready to follow the Shepherd, please don't leave this place. Yes, I see that hand. Anyone else? Anyone else today? As we start this new year, I'm going to ask as we prepare to sing this last song that my next step people come. And I want to pray as they're coming, all of us together. I want us to pray a prayer of inviting the Lord Jesus into our heart today. And I want everyone to pray with me. And I want you to pray like you mean it. Say with me, Dear Jesus, I come to you. I need a Savior. I need a Shepherd. And I ask you to save my soul. And I ask you to come into my life. And I receive you as Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name. Now, folks, let me tell you, if you prayed that prayer and you meant that prayer from the bottom of your heart, what happened to you is you were born again. You were born again. And here's what I encourage you to do. The Bible talks about confessing your new relationship to God with somebody. These people are here. And I encourage you, if you raised your hand, I encourage you to come to them and let them pray for you. And also, on your way out today, we have a little booklet called The Next Step. If you want to know what steps you need to make next, you get that little pamphlet and you read it. And, of course, we are always here to help you and encourage you. But you make your way up here and you let these folks pray for you. How many of you are ready for the new year? You got 10 guarantees now. And you're ready in Jesus' name. Come on, let's worship the Lord. If you need to come forward for prayer or to talk to these folks, you come this morning in Jesus' name.